You can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. And we'll look at several verses in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 has two distinct parts. The first section, which covers verses 1 through 21, speaks of our Lord's sob. While section 2, which consists of verses 22 through 31, addresses our Lord's song. So we have a sob and we have a song in this psalm. The key statement in part 1 is Christ stating of God, found in verse 2, "Thou hearest not. O God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not." The key statement in part 2 is "he heard," which we see in verse 24. "But when he cried unto him, he heard." Which tells us when God does hear, or when God does not hear, life is a sob. But when God does hear, life becomes a song. Now, before we remember our Lord's death via the bread and the cup, I want us to look at several verses in this psalm which describe what God permitted man to do to his son. And this, of course, occurred when Christ died for us on the cross. Before we look at verses 6 through 8, verses 12 and 13, verses 16 through 18, I want to read the section on the sob of Christ, which we see in verses 1 through 21. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.' But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didn'st make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. If I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." And then we see in verse 22, "I will deliver or declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Father, I thank you for just the reminder of what Christ has done for us, the life that he gave, the life that he gave, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we can have. Might we understand in a greater way the salvation that is ours through Christ Jesus. Give us a love for him. And in his name we pray. Amen. Mob ruled, or mob rule, ruled the day when Jesus died. Man's hatred was so strong, so intense, so real. And with mob rule comes the basest, lowest, foulest, most wretched form of behavior, meaning the worst that man could do to the Lord Jesus they did on that day. And so we read Christ saying in verse 6, "But I am a reproach of men," meaning I am their common butt and jest. I am the sport of the rabble, the painful scorn of the rulers. He continues, "I am despised of the people," the very people who had wanted him crowned. The very people who had wanted him crowned. We think of those words back in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. "And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Those words were spoken about 6 days before what we read in Psalm 22. Those people that wanted him crowned now demanded him condemned, crushed, crucified, and dead. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man rule over us." Isaiah 53, verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Those who had benefited by his cures, can you think of all the people that Christ gave life, physical life to, now sneered at him in his woes. Christ adds in verse 7, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn." Christ is talking here, cruel mockings. He is referencing the most painful and pitiless kind of mockery, scornful ridicule that comes in the form of derisive laughter. Here at Christ's most vulnerable moment, when he was prostrate in weakness, soon to die, the response to him, contemptuous, disdainful, haughty laughter. And I say, it's no fun to be made fun of. It's no fun to be laughed at. Christ speaks on in verse 7, "They shoot out the lip, they shake the head." Again, future gestures or further gestures of contempt, additional modes of derision. Spurgeon writes, "Men made faces at him before the angels, before whom angels veil their faces and adore." And in setting Jesus utterly at naught, these revilers remark, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Here we see man's taunt is cruelly aimed at Christ's faith in God, which really is the tenderest point of a righteous man's soul. And of course, this prophetic statement was fulfilled in Matthew and Luke's gospel. Listen to the words in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 39. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Prove you are the Son of God." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now their ironical jest, seeing he delighted in him, really is true. For when Christ was found in fashion as a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Father was well pleased. Remember he said in Philippians chapter 2, "I will exalt him and give him a name which is above every name." And so we have here the Son, or the Father, pleased with the Son, which gives us a strange mixture. Jehovah delights in Jesus and yet bruises him. He is well pleased and yet slays him. Moving down to verse 12, Psalm 22, the mob rule continues. Christ continues to describe the scene before him. "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round." The picture here is the encirclement of the prey. The priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers of the Jews bellowed around the cross like well-fed, full of strength and fury, wild bulls. They, as infuriated brute beasts, wild and strong, stomped and foamed and desired to gore our helpless, unarmed Lord to death with their cruelties. You think, can man be so hateful? For information purposes, Bashan, which extended from Jabbok to the foot of Hermon and was the ancient kingdom of Og, abounded in rich pastures and therefore in thriving cattle. Verse 13, "They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and roaring lion." The metaphor now moves from the threatening bulls to the ravenous, cannibal-like lions who are eager to devour their prey with their blasphemous and monstrous jaws. Spurgeon writes, "They could not vomit forth their anger fast enough through the ordinary aperture of their mouths, and therefore set the doors of their lips wide open like those who gape." This crowd, this mob, like roaring lions, howled and longed to tear the Lord Jesus to pieces. Drop down to verse 16. "For dogs," Christ said, "have compassed me." Here Jesus marks the more ignoble crowd, who, while less strong than their brutal leaders, were not less ferocious. Like howling and barking, unclean and hungry dogs, they were ready to surround their game. "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, and to devour their prey." In the center stands not a panting stag, but a bleeding and fainting man hunted by thirsty bloodhounds. Verse 16 ends with, "They pierce my hands and my feet," which figuratively describes a tearing being rent by dogs. In John chapter 19, verse 18, we read, "Where they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." Verse 37, again, another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." And then so emaciated was Jesus by his fastings and sufferings, and so distended was his body from the posture of the cross, that he says in verse 17, "I may tell all my bones." Christ could count and recount all his bones. The zeal of his father's house had eaten him up, and like a good soldier, he had endured hardness. And so he says, they look and stare upon me. Rather than showing sympathy toward Christ's agonizing, and can I say, naked body, this mob's unholy and cruel eyes gloated upon his miseries. I take note of what Spurgeon says here. The first Adam made all of us naked, and therefore the second Adam became naked that he might clothe our naked souls. In verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. To the victor belongs the spoils, and in Roman society, that usually meant the executioners received the garments of the executed. So noteworthy was the fulfillment of this prophecy of the soldier's conduct at the foot of Christ's cross, that all four gospel writers have recorded it. Matthew 27, verse 35, Mark 15, verse 24, Luke 23, verse 34. Let me read John 19, verse 24 for you. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, for these soldiers to gamble for Christ's vesture at the foot of the cross shows a most hardened heart. How little they cared. But as Spurgeon says, he who gave his blood to cleanse us gave his garments to clothe us. And such a work of loving grace is what we desire tonight to remember and to celebrate. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. We find healing. Now, as we've certainly studied from Psalm 22, Christ came unto his own. He came unto his own Jewish people. But his own did what? Received him not. But the verse goes on to say, John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when we believe on his name, the sob of our heart becomes that song. Christ, too, gives us a song. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for what Christ did for us. Lord, he took our sins. He took our reproach. He took our guilt. And he died that we might live. That we might have victory. That we might have victory over sin. That we might have victory, yes, one day over the grave. That we might have victory over even ourselves. Lord, how I prayed even of late, Lord, save me from myself. Lord, how quickly I want to be in control. How quickly I want to take the reins of my life and make the choices and make the decisions that are before me. Lord, give me a heart that finds redemption not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin as well. Lord, might we be a people who do not quench and grieve the Spirit of God. Lord, might we be a people who prove all things. We hold fast to that which is good. We abstain from all the the appearance of all evil, Lord. Give us clean hearts and clean hands, pure hearts and clean hands as we remember our Lord's death till he comes. And Lord, I believe that his coming is sooner than we really do think. Our redemption draweth nigh. The redemption of our body, the deliverance from this body of death, is closer than we think. Lord, give us a heart to redeem the time that you have for us. Might we abound in the work that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a few moments right now to examine ourselves.